Our text tonight is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And if you might think, well, I'm not a father, so this sermon's got nothing to do with me, let me just say that the exhortation to fathers does apply to each one of us in all sorts of different ways. Yes, expressly, the prime focus here is on fathers, but that extends out to fathers, mothers, uncles, aunts, grandparents, those who have contact with children in all sorts of different settings. Our witness to children, yes, as fathers, but as believers too, is all summed up by the Apostle Paul in this great admonition, this great exhortation that he makes. We all wish sometimes fathers and those who have dealings with parents wish that we had an instruction manual full of all of the advice we need how to be involved in the lives of children. Well, Paul sums it up for us in this one verse. And it's a great responsibility that the church has too, to reach out with the gospel to children all around us. Yes, a father's love, presence, approval and support for his children from their early years through teenage years and on into adult life is a significant factor in the lives of children. To teach children to be secure and to know a father's love, a parent's love, Christian love, through those who witness Christ's love to children. And that helps children to learn how to give love to others too. A lack of love, a lack of parental discipline, can lead to all sorts of anxiety and insecurity for the future. So to be a Christian, reaching out with the gospel to children, it's not an easy task. And yet fathers matter a great deal, as does every Christian here tonight who's desire is to witness in life and word to children, to young people who are around in all sorts of different settings. So I don't want you to think, if you're not a father, to think I can switch off, this has got nothing to do with me. No, it's got plenty to do with each one of us. So Paul doesn't give us an instruction manual, but what he does is give us gospel fundamentals that help us a great deal. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, you might wonder, why does Paul single out fathers at all? Because in the verses we were looking at this morning, Paul has been speaking of children honoring father and mother. And mothers are intimately involved in the bringing up of children too. And that's accentuated in our day, particularly in the case of single mums. But Paul here speaks specifically to fathers because of the danger that fathers abdicate their responsibility, leave it up to someone else. That's one of the dangers in church life, isn't it? You might think tonight, well, it's for the church to reach out to witness to children. It's the preacher's job, or those who are involved with children's meeting or young people's meetings. But Paul is saying every Christian has a responsibility towards children. And fathers specifically mustn't just palm that responsibility off to others. It's a responsibility fathers, but we must all take seriously. And there are several gospel applications we can make from this verse tonight. The first is, do not provoke children to wrath. That's the negative side. Don't give children a reason to become angry, resentful, rebellious. That's a warning fathers need to hear. It's a warning we all need to hear. Fathers have great power over their children. Children rely on fathers who have an inherent authority from God. And you notice, for fathers and for all of us, it's not an unlimited authority. Why do I say that? I say that because of verse 1. Ephesians 6 verse 1, children are told, obey your parents in the Lord. If parents or anyone say to children to do something ungodly, something that God in his word forbids, at that point there's a primary responsibility to God. Obey your parents in the Lord. And the same here now in verse 4, the training and admonition of the Lord. So the ultimate authority is God's authority. And if I now witness to children, sad to say there are those who are standing to preach the Bible, but who are leading children astray from the gospel because they're not teaching them the biblical gospel. So it's in the Lord, says Paul. The power and the reality of the authority that parents, fathers, anyone has over children is in the Lord. Use it rightly. Authority is there for a purpose. It must be anchored in the word of God and used for the good of children. And with our authority, responsibility goes hand in hand with the authority. Don't wield the power that parents, that fathers, that anyone has over children wrongly in a way that provokes children to wrath. That can be done through the wrong attitude, the wrong words, wrong actions, over severe discipline, harsh demands. But it can also arise through not following through on warnings. Don't say to children, if you don't behave well, you won't have any presents from your parents at Christmas time. For a child, Christmas time is like 100 years away. That's not going to cut any ice. It can arise from being unfair. What problems have arisen in families through wrong favoritism? Don't provoke children by constant nagging or humiliation or jokes about children. But neither should fathers provoke children to wrath by being weak, by acting as if they have no responsibility. It's one of the great challenges in our culture at this time. Children who are being brought up without the influence of a father. If fathers abdicate responsibility, that doesn't bode well in any society. And if fathers fail to discipline a child and leave everything in the upbringing of a child to others, then that as well is a departure from the standards of the Word of God. Fathers are to be there for the physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual well-being of children. When fathers take that responsibility seriously, love children from a position of tough love, when you do that as a witness to children, when you're fair, follow through on warnings, establish clear boundaries, consistently enforce them, Paul is saying, as he does throughout this letter, as he emphasizes the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel shows us fathers are children of God first, and then they're fathers of their children second. It's in the Lord. Fathers need to remember, if you're a Christian tonight, you need to remember, you're a dearly loved child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Secure in your knowledge that you have a relationship with God, your heavenly Father. And that gives earthly fathers then the power to love, and the Holy Spirit empowers fathers to be the kind of people Paul describes. That he's been describing all the way through this letter as he's written to the Ephesians. Let me just give you one reminder in chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. What will it mean for you to be a witness to children? Chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Not like that, says Paul, but like this, and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So do not provoke children to wrath. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, says Paul. The second thing he says, bring them up in the training first of the Lord. Bring them up in the training of the Lord. Paul says, fathers, care for their children, pay special attention to their needs. And there's a goal in fatherhood to bring children to spiritual maturity. That's one of the things we want to see in the life of the church, isn't it? Those who are witnesses to children in daily life, that children will see what it means to be a Christian and what it means to live as a Christian. So that involves, yes, teaching children all they need to spiritually understand what it means to be a Christian and then to grow and mature, but also by life. Your life tonight before children here in the church on a Sunday morning or whenever you've got contact with children around you, your lifestyle is to show them what a Christian looks like and what the Christian life looks like. The primary responsibility, of course, in a father is to the Lord, but then also to keep his promises to stay married to the mother and committed to that family so that he can bring up children in the right setting. It's easy for fathers to be absent in all sorts of ways. Absent physically, but also absent emotionally. There are many situations where father and mother need to work together emotionally in the upbringing of children. Not just for a father to stand back and say, it's all up to my wife. And the most dangerous absence for fathers of all, and the most dangerous absence for us as believers, is when there's a spiritual absence. No church input into the lives of children. Or for children, no family worship. No spiritual input. Fatherhood is hard work. It's sometimes complex. But there's a particular kind of nurturing Paul wants us to focus on here. It's the training of the Lord, he says. Training there is another word for education. Fathers are to be the spiritual educators of their children, along with mothers, along with the church. It's about helping children to learn the word of God, to grow in knowledge of the word of God. We are living at a time when there is a massive biblical illiteracy about what the Bible says. I sometimes have said to one or two of you that I like to watch a program on the TV called University Challenge. Because I know if there's a question about the Bible, usually the people on University Challenge can't answer it. And usually I can, because the questions are usually dead easy. But it shows you, if ever you listen to University Challenge, listen for a question about the Bible. Usually people have got no idea. There's a biblical illiteracy in our society. And the church's responsibility to reach out with that gospel to children, to young people. And it's also a particular responsibility of fathers. Fathers need to be available then to their children, because sometimes learning moments come at unexpected times. It's true for children, it's true for teenagers. It goes on in life. Some of you have got adult children, but still showing them what it means to be and to live as a Christian in an increasingly complex society. That's so important. God has a common fatherhood over the whole human race. Listen to Malachi chapter 2 verse 10, where the prophet Malachi says to all men and women made in the image and likeness of God, have we not all one father? Now that's an unusual use of the word father there. Saying something about God as the creator, that we're all accountable to God. And that works itself out then in the life of a family, because you're either displaying truth about God, or by your words or by your life, you're telling lies about God. Let me give you some examples of what that means. A father who has children but then abandons them is saying that God created us but doesn't care about us, wants nothing to do with us. A father who spends time with his children, takes an interest in them, is sending a message that there is a heavenly father who is interested in us. Now that's true for fathers, it's true for all adults. A father who doesn't provide for his family sends a message that God does not provide for us. A father who works to provide for his family sends a message that there is a heavenly father who feeds and clothes his children. A father who takes the easy approach and won't take a stand against bad behavior sends a message that God is passive and doesn't care. But a father who enjoys adventure and stands against bad behavior is sending out a different message, that God cares. God is the heavenly warrior. A father is too busy to talk with his children, sends a message that God is too busy to listen to us. But a father who talks with and listens to his children They're sending a message that there is a heavenly Father who delights in the prayers of his people. A father who abuses and is cruel to his children sends a message that God is cruel. But a father who protects and builds up his children is sending a message that there's a heavenly Father who loves and wants the best for his children. A father who never encourages his children is sending a message that God has an endless list of demands, but a father who encourages his children sends a message that God is the great encourager and helper of his people. A father who never disciplines his children is sending a message that God is like a marshmallow, no firm direction. But a father who disciplines, sending a message that the Heavenly Father guides and disciplines those he loves. A father who never forgives is sending a signal that God holds grudges. But a father who is slow to anger and quick to forgive is signaling there is a Heavenly Father who is gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. A father who doesn't instruct his children in the word of God is sending a message that God isn't interested in his truth, isn't interested in what we believe. But a father who trains and instructs his children biblically is sending a message that there is a heavenly Father who prizes truth. A father who's unreliable, doesn't do what he promises, is sending the message that God is untrustworthy. A father who does what he says comes through with a message that there is a heavenly Father who is trustworthy. Now, what I've said about fathers applies to family life, it applies to Christian witness, it applies in all sorts of settings. So it isn't only applicable to fathers. But I'm saying, whatever your situation tonight, what sort of picture are you sending out of what a Christian looks like? None of us is sinless before God in these matters. But if you're trusting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, something of that God transformation of your life should be evident. Is there anything attractive in that Christian witness to children, to family, to colleagues, to neighbors, to people around? Or is that life a barrier that blocks others from trusting in a heavenly Father? Makes it hard for people to understand what we mean when we pray to our Father in heaven. There are few sins so terrible as a father who damages his children by evil conduct. Few things are more wonderful than a man who's a father relating to his children well, that they see something of God in him. And that's true for you if you're a Christian tonight. How wonderful it is if people around can see something of God at work in you. And they come to understand something of what it means to call God our Father. So Paul says, first of all, do not provoke your children to wrath. Secondly, he says to fathers, bring your children up in the training of the Lord. And then thirdly, bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Admonition means warning. It means correction. We all make mistakes. We all need correcting. Children, as they're growing up, make many mistakes. It's an important part of learning and growing that children learn from those mistakes. When they're admonished when they do wrong and appraised when they do right. Admonition is necessary, and fathers need to set limits for children. There are times when we have to say no. And there are times we have to say no and mean it. A teacher said to me the other day that there were children now coming to her school, children who do not understand the word no. Now, praising children at appropriate times is absolutely essential. But just as important as that is, so it's important also that there are times when to say no is important too. Perhaps one of the most distressing things about the whole matter of what is happening in our society as it's disintegrating is where parents and adults wring their hands and say, I can't do anything with him. I can't do anything with her. Despair on the part of parents. Look to others, look to the social services or the police to take responsibility. where there's this breakdown in relationships in a family and between parents and children. Why is our nation experiencing a storm in this regard? Well, there's no question that we are reaping a whirlwind that we have sown by godlessness, the godlessness which has swept through homes and classrooms in our nation. So many have been taught children should be allowed just to express themselves however they want, that any discipline is wrong, you should never say no. And as a result, there grows up then young people who've never learned what it means, what we were thinking about this morning, to obey their parents. Never yielded to those who will say no and mean it. And so there is a present revolt. You see it in all sorts of areas of our society. A revolt against authority. We have sown to the wind. We are now reaping the whirlwind. And that whirlwind will make a child insecure, miserable and self-centered. What we call a spoiled child. One who grows up to expect the child's own way in everything and who rides roughshod over the feelings of anyone else. So admonition, says the Bible, is important. Admonition normally is not in public, shouldn't be turned into a joke at the expense of a child. But when parents do not admonish children rightly, letting them know when they're doing something wrong, but loving them and praising them when they're doing something right, that's a powerful teaching experience, and it's true in the life of the church. It's where fathers have a particular responsibility to ensure their homes are a safe place to fail and a happy place to make mistakes and learn and to know forgiveness and a better way. That phrase, in the Lord, of the Lord, is vital here. That's what's guiding all teaching. That's what's guiding all admonition. It's not just the world's values, the training and admonition of the Lord, grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ, being guided by the word of God. All Christians need to take an initiative in that area. Are our lives being molded and changed and transformed by the word of God? We are being transformed in our mind that works itself into heart and life, not just by the culture around us, not by the ungodliness of our society, but by the word of God. Father, says Paul, take an initiative in that area. Be keen to read the Bible together with families. Be keen to pray with families. When are you going to do that? You can do it at mealtimes. Husbands and wives can read the Bible, can pray together. Can do so with their children when they sit down at mealtimes. It's one of the hardest things that perhaps a family does through the day, to have that discipline of reading the Bible, praying together. It may not necessarily be because you're recalcitrant, you don't want to do it, but it's just with the society's pressures all around us, there are all sorts of 101 things that can press in upon us. But to keep God and his word central in family life is so important. So I'm saying try to be consistent and insistent about it. You don't have to do a convention sermon at the meal table. But if you read the Bible, use a devotional. We use at the moment the Ligonier table talk devotional that helps us to start the day at a meal time, at breakfast time, just spend a few minutes together around the word of God. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, says Paul to the Ephesians, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And what you're doing together as a family shows what you love, what matters to you. Husband is self-sacrificially to love his wife, but here is Paul is saying, fathers have this commitment with your children. One of my earliest memories of being taken along to church is as a little boy, I was about 2, I thought, perhaps 3 years old. I woke up one morning, next door lived my uncle and aunt. And I woke up one winter's day morning and I looked out the window and it had snowed in the night. It was very exciting. It was Sunday morning. Snow on the ground. But a bit earlier than normal, my uncle knocked the door, said, "It's time now for church." And I thought to myself, wow, we're going to walk all the way to church through the snow. It was about 2 miles away to where the church was. My uncle could see I was going to struggle to get there through the snow. So he put me on his shoulders and he carried me to church. And I remember thinking as a little boy, God is very important. God is very great. God must be very important for my uncle to carry me all the way to church through the snow on a Sunday morning when there's no traffic on the roads, no buses running, snow on the ground, but God is great. You can see it's sunk into my consciousness, which is why I'm saying witness to children, not just to leave it to others, to explorers, the little children, or to Matrix, the older youngsters, for husband, not to leave it to his wife, but to be involved in training children in the admonition of the Lord. It's a great challenge to us. Fathers are not to exasperate their children, but to love them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, "He who loves his son disciplines him promptly." There are misguided experts who promote no discipline for children. But God says, that is folly. Proverbs 19, verse 18, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." Why do some people oppose all disciplining of children? Well, there are some who say children are sugar and spice and all things nice. Don't make rules. Don't discipline children at all. Just give them what they want. Just let them do what they please. Just watch these marvelous little people blossom. Now, sensible people call that spoiling children. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22, verse 15. The Bible says very bluntly, children are not all sugar and spice and all things nice. Sometimes they are foolish. And there is a need sometimes then for discipline that is firm and fair. Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." Don't exasperate them. Don't discipline a child when you've lost your temper. Don't punish a child if you're in a rage. But the best alternative to abusive discipline is not no discipline, but fair discipline. Children who aren't disciplined figure that their parents are either spineless or clueless. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed, Proverbs says. A parent who disciplines when necessary shows more love than one who says and does nothing. Without boundaries, a child will grow up confused and unhappy. But if there are clear boundaries and there is correct discipline, the steady guiding hand of loving parents. Proverbs 29 verse 16 says, "Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." Now I'm saying in all of that, that life must be communicated by your Christian witness and life as well as by words. If your children see God at work in your life, they'll be far more likely to hear what God says to them when you speak to them. Your life must shine with the life of Christ. If you don't practice what you preach, your witness will be weak. Imagine you go to a restaurant and you look into the kitchen and the cook looks really unclean. He's not washing his hands. He's wearing a filthy, dirty apron. Flies are buzzing around. You look at that dirty kitchen and you look at that dirty chef and you think, do you want to swallow any food that he serves to you? No, quite. You would not. Well, if when people look at our lives and they stink with sin, people will not swallow anything we say to them about God. So don't provoke them to wrath, says Paul. Don't preach the old virtues, but practice the old vices. Live a Christ-like life. When children and when other people are looking, and when children and other people are not looking. But hypocrisy will stink, and children will be turned off when they smell it. One of the crazy beliefs in our society at the moment is that there are some things which are bad for children to see, but okay for adults to see. Well, let me say as a general rule, if there's something you wouldn't want your children to look at, then don't look at it yourself. Because your life will have that influence upon your children. What a difference it makes when parents are the kind of people children can look up to and admire them. What a blessing to be able to say, Proverbs 17, verse 6, the glory of children is their father. Imagine if the Apostle Paul could write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and he says to them, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, none of us here tonight have the Lord Jesus Christ perfection. None of us are sinless. We all need cleansing. We all need pardon. We all need, by trusting in Jesus Christ, a righteousness that is put to our account from God. It is our forgiveness of sin and righteousness from God that gives us a standing before God tonight. But if Christ is living in you by the Spirit, then something of his goodness, love, and joy will shine through, and that will make your witness attractive. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, you can't be a witness to others. You can be a good person in many respects, but if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, if you don't know God, if your faith is not in Jesus Christ the Savior, you're not going to be able to shine for him in this dark world. But if you love and trust and worship Jesus Christ, if you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you can say, what a friend I have in Jesus, all my sins, all my griefs to bear, then your relationship with God strengthens your witness. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge, says Proverbs. When you have trust in Jesus Christ and a reverence and a love for God, it becomes like a wall of safety for others to say, that's what it means to be a Christian. I see it in what that person says, but I also see it in how that person lives. So if you don't yet trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and King, I'm saying tonight, call on him, seek him. Call on him, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But if you do know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And God is honored, and children will be blessed by a father, by a mother, who love God. And as a result, then, that love is seen in their love for their children. And that's true for every one of us in whatever place God puts us as a witness for him. Love God. I asked one of the boys and girls who are here this morning about the Ten Commandments. And one of them was saying to me, love God, love your neighbor. Well, that's when, in a way, the gospel dynamic behind what Paul is saying here. Love for God will reveal itself in a father's love for children. We want to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But it'll also be seen in every one of us, our witness for Jesus Christ in this dark world. Our society, in many ways, is becoming more and more disintegrated and dark. But that gives the opportunity for Christians to shine brightly. So shine for Christ and do it. Love God, love your neighbor. Parents, love your children. Fathers, bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them, teach them the Bible, tell them about Jesus. And what a great Savior we have, that we can tell everyone about him. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word to us. It challenges us, it reminds us that word and life must match up in our witness. That's true for fathers. That's true for us all in whatever different situations we are found in family life, and as neighbours, in places of work, with friends, with people we meet in all sorts of different circumstances. We are living in times, Lord, where there is a great need for a clear, bold, consistent Christian witness. And we pray that you will make us ambassadors for Christ, that we will plead with men and women, wherever we find them, be reconciled to God, and that fathers will work that out in their family lives, in the situations where you place them. What a great responsibility you've put on the shoulders of fathers, on mothers, on families in our godless days. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen those who seek to honour Jesus Christ in family life and grant great wisdom and the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Keep us from evil and from the evil one, and lead us on by your holy word. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reminded in the last hymn we're going to sing about the gospel that we have to proclaim. We proclaim it in all the different settings that we've been thinking about tonight. 483 is our closing hymn. We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for men in all the earth, the gospel of a Saviour's name. We sing his glory, tell his worth. We tell the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all the earth. So let's stand to sing 483. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people. and not only for tonight, but even forevermore, world without end. Amen.